I'm sure you noticed in your bulletin that we gave you, these are the memory verses for the next weeks to come. And so we gave you them all. You can be working ahead on those memory verses. And that's so you can be prepared and work toward knowing them. I would say that probably many of you know most of them. You might not know the references, but you've heard them enough that you know most of them. So continue to work on those and be prepared for that. And then do come back tonight. I'm excited about the word that is going to be brought forth tonight and hearing more about the Peter Project. I've in through the prayer letters, I know a little bit about what he's planning on doing, but I'd like to be glad to hear even more in depth. This morning, we are going to continue on in Philippians chapter 4 and actually end our time there in Philippians this morning. And we're going to be looking at the name of the message this morning is The Need of the Hour. Name of the message is The Need of the Hour. You know, it always amazes me how God orchestrates his church services, even without me meddling in them. Some pastors would plan. I will admit that my wife is the planner in the family. I am the fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of guy in the family. And some pastors would plan and make sure they had a missions message for the day a missionary comes by. I am not that good of a planner. I started preaching through Philippians a little over a year ago, and our last message in Philippians is today. And I always knew that when I got to this message, it would be on missions giving. I always knew because I know this passage. I've known it for years. And so I always knew that this message would be on missions giving. I just did not know the day I would preach it. And God has orchestrated the timeline so that I would preach this message on this day. Even back whenever, I can't remember how long I talked to Mr. Peacock about coming, God orchestrated that date when we were saying, you know, what date do you want? And I said, oh, this date. These are the dates that, you know, you could have. And I said, God was orchestrating that, I believe. So the title of the message is The Need of the Hour. It's a reference to the need to support missions. The need to support missions. The need of the hour is to do all that we can as a church to support our missionaries and, if possible, to support more. To do all we can to support our missionaries and, if possible, to support other missionaries. Acts 1:8 gives us our purpose. As a part of our purpose as a church, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and what? Under the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus left that great commission for us to follow. And we can't accomplish that, especially with our church. We can't accomplish that without help. We can't accomplish going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature without help. We need help, folks. We need help to accomplish God's purposes. And we are helped by our missionaries. Our missionaries help us accomplish God's plan for us. We help them, but they in turn help us. It's a mutual partnering together, as we're going to see in this message today. It's a mutual partnering together to accomplish the Great Commission. We're blessed today to have the Peacocks with us. We are mutually partnering together in ministry. Don't ever look at it as if we are just giving our finances. We are to be giving finances. We talked about this morning, prayer. We are partners. We are giving money and praying, and they are giving their lives in service and praying. This message shows how the Philippian church was one of the first to catch on to the need for supporting missionaries. This Philippian church was one of the first churches to understand we have a need to support the gospel preaching, and that was through Paul. But then as churches grew and they came to understand God's desire to reach out into all the world, and they started to develop that, it turned into our day mission boards that help promote missions and help missionaries be able to go into all these different countries and give them the resources, in the sense, not in the mission boards don't give the resources as far as money goes, but just helping to get into countries, helping with insurance and helping with so many logistical things, the making money transfer from one nation to the next. All those different things mission boards help with that they didn't have quite back here. And we'll see even some of the problems that arose that really are some of the reasons probably why we have mission boards today, is because some of the problems that they had in trying to support Paul. So in verse number 10, and we know we covered this last week, but I wanted to go back to the verse number 10. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. See, there is the idea. They wanted to support, but they didn't have an opportunity. They didn't have a mission board that they could just send the money to, and the mission board knew how to get the money to them. They didn't have that. They had to wait till they could send a messenger. And that day, sending a messenger from Philippi to Rome was a huge deal. You know, back 50, 60 years ago, people didn't even travel 20 miles. Sometimes they lived their whole life within 20 or 30 miles of their own home. I worked for a small time up in northern Michigan at a Four Winds boat factory. And I talked to guys there, and they said, well, I've never been an hour away from my home. These are guys that are in their 20s, and they're like, I've never been an hour away from here. You know, they lived in a time back then to travel 100 miles away from home, and Rome was further than that, was a huge undertaking in that day. And so to support Paul was hard. It took a real dedication to wanting to support Paul for them to do that. But he says, now your care of me hath flourished again. That means to revive or to blossom. You know, in just a few weeks, flowers are going to be pushing up through the ground. How many of you have flowers that maybe they're already, yeah, they're already pushing up through the ground, and soon they're going to be blossoming. Isn't it always nice in the spring to see those blossoms come up through, and you see the fresh flowers, and you know that spring is on the way? In fact, I saw my first robin yesterday. Spring is coming. Robins are coming. Trees will be blossoming and producing fruit. There's always seasons in life, and here Paul's using this word that means to blossom again. Your care of me has blossomed. Again, you've done that in the past, but now it's blossoming again. That's a blessing. I know in the past, we have been helped by others, and that help came just at the right time. I mean, I don't know how many times I can look back to and think of times when we were on the mission field that it was just like this. We had some type of a need, and all of a sudden, a church, somebody in a church or a church just decided to send extra. And it was like, it's not something that we let anybody know about. Most times we didn't, especially for personal needs, we didn't write prayer letters and ask for personal needs. In fact, our mission board wisely said that we had to ask before we could present needs. And we didn't present personal needs. We let God take care of that. I know that we had a need for a way to plow out our driveway. We had a huge driveway in Saskatchewan, and the snow was deep, and we had a 4x4, but we didn't have a plow. And we started praying, asking God, God, we need some way to clear our driveway. We have a 4x4, but no plow. Within just a few weeks, somebody sent money, just extra money, that covered the need of that plow. It was almost the exact dollar figure that we needed. We didn't ask. We asked God. We didn't ask the people. And their care of me, Paul wasn't asking. We've seen that. Paul wasn't asking for help. But God knew his need. And that care just blossomed. Because God knows the need. And God takes care of the need. You've probably seen that in your life. Where there's been a certain need. And you didn't have to ask people for it because God knows the need. And that care has blossomed. Maybe it's just through a friendship that you have. And that person's care, even through friendship, blossoms again. You ever had that where you're just kind of down? And a friend gives you a card or something, some encouraging card, and you're like, oh, that friendship just blossomed again. That's the idea here. Their care had blossomed again. And as we go on into verse 15 or 14 then, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul commends their helping him. He says, you have well done. Ye did a good thing, Paul says. And it is a good thing when others help in the time of need. Paul says, that's well done. You know, as a church, when we see a missionary has a need and we try and help with that need, that would be, Paul would say, well done, church. Well done that you have helped these missionaries with their need. It is good to give to missions. It is a good thing that we do when we give to missionaries. He says, you communicated with my affliction there in verse 14. Communicated with my affliction. And that means they participated in Paul's suffering. The word is used in a negative way in Ephesians 5:11. Just so you get the idea of the word communicated here. In Ephesians 5:11, it's the word fellowship. And I'll read that, Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So have no fellowship, have no participation in the unfruitful works of darkness. The word fellowship and the word communicate are from the same base word in the Greek. The idea of the word communicate means a deep partnership of two going in the same direction. A deep partnership. We, I believe, and the peacocks are going in the same direction. And as we give to their ministry, we are communicating, we are fellowshipping together, we are partnering together because we have folks here that are going the same direction. Our desire is that all of our missionaries are going in the same direction. That's why we try and support like-minded people. And as we give to them, we are partnering together. And sometimes it's in their, as we'll see, sometimes it's in their abundance. Sometimes it's in their affliction. There are different stages of life, but as we give, we are partnering together with them. We are going in the same direction. They had well done because their gift showed that they were on board with Paul. Paul, we see your calling. When we take on missionaries, we say, we see your calling. We see that God has called you to a certain ministry. And we want to get on the train. You're heading for a destination, and we think that is where God would have us to go to. And we hop on the train, or they hop on our train. Either way, it's kind of both. We both have the same desire and the same direction, and we hop on mutually and say, this is where we're going. This is what we're partnering together for. So they had well done. John puts it this way in 3 John 8. 3 John 8, I'll say it better. I'm going to say it for my brother, I think. 3 John 8. Is that how you would say that? 3 John 8, or how would you say that? Yeah. 3 John 8, okay. They speak a little different than we do, don't they? Could you tell that he has an accent? Anybody tell that they have an accent? He thinks we talk funny. 3 John 8 says, we are fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers. We are helping each other. But it's all for the truth. It's all for the ministry that God has called us to. God has called us all to be partnering together, to be fellow helpers to the truth. So when we support missionaries, we are partnering together with them in the ministry. They cannot go without help. Well, they could maybe, but they would be a lot less effective. When Paul didn't have help, what did he have to do? What did he have to spend time doing? Making tents. And when he had to spend time making tents, that took away from the time that he could preach the gospel. And so when he had gifts, when people gave him gifts, he could invest more time into gospel ministry. And that's what we don't want our missionaries to have to work a secular job on the field, because we want to invest their time in the work that God has called them to. They cannot go without help, and we cannot go without their help. We can't send the number of missionaries that we have, we can't send somebody from our church to every country there and do that work ourselves, because we'd empty the church. There'd be nobody here to give. We cannot possibly minister in Cape Town, in Panama, in Atlanta, in Mexico, in Taiwan, in Tanzania, in Germany, in Chad, and I might have left somebody out, but we can't go to all those places. But we can through our missionaries. We can partner together with them. He says, now you Philippians, verse 15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning and receiving, but ye only. In the beginning of the gospel, the Philippians had helped Paul at the beginning of his work in the area. His work had been fruitful, although costly. We all know what happened in Philippi. He's thrown into prison and beaten and that. And then Thessalonica didn't go so well. But the Philippians sent once and again. When he was in Thessalonica, the very next place he goes to, they at least contributed twice to his work there. You know what? The Philippians had grasped so quickly the importance of Paul's mission. And I think sometimes we in our churches today have forgotten that. The importance of missions. The importance of partnering together. That led them to be financial partners. They saw what the gospel meant for their small church. They could stop and think, you know, what would happen if Paul had not come and given us the good news? We want this same thing that we have. I want, God has saved me. My eternity is secure and God has saved me. And when we give to missions, we're saying, I want the same for other people. I want others to hear the good news of the gospel. This really shows us that not every church understands their responsibility to partner together with those God has called. Because Paul says, in that day, you only have done that. And I believe there's a lot of churches today that give to missions, but aren't really partnering together in prayer. And don't really see that as a partnering together, that we are working together, and we really need to grasp that as a church. It's not just about giving and forgetting about it. It's giving and praying and connecting continually with our missionaries to keep that heart for their ministry continually. He says, ye sent once and again. Their support was ongoing when they had opportunity. When they had opportunity, verse 10. They didn't have the same way to send money as we do today. But he says, this is an investment for the future. An investment for the future, verse 17 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Not that I desire a gift, he says. You know, I'm excited about the Peter Project, and I'm excited about seeing that go forward. Paul here was not a seeker of gifts. Gifts help him and made it so he could devote more time to the gospel and less time to making tents, but he was not desirous of gifts. He was desirous of gifts only in the sense that they helped him further the gospel. There are missionaries who seem to be interested in gifts, and I no way speaking of the Peacocks today, but there are missionaries that are, who seem to be interested in gifts. When we're on the mission field, we interacted with other missionaries. And they were always asking for money for things that just didn't seem to quite fit with their purpose of being there. It wasn't for spreading the gospel. It was for things that just seemed to be off. Let me give you an example. This one missionary moved to a new location, and he did a lot of construction work, and so he put a new roof on his house. And they moved to the new location, and 6 months or a year later, they get a call, we're suing you because the roof you put on, you didn't do it right. They had a contractor come out. He didn't do it right, the guy who put it on, the missionary, and it had leaked, and there was like $15,000 worth of damage to the house, because he hadn't put it on right himself. Well, immediately, when they figured out they're going to have to pay $15,000, the prayer letters went out. Oh, we need $15,000 immediately to pay our negligence, for our negligence. And to my amazement, $15,000 just shows up. And it's like, wow. If that's just one instance, maybe that's okay. But that was a continual thing in their lives, continually asking for more money for things that are just like, well, that's not gospel. And some of the things that they asked money for, in fact, I watched this missionary for about a year and a half. While he's being fully supported, he spent almost all his time working on fixing up a house to flip it so that he could pay off his house, so that he could be able to minister full-time for the mission board with no financial problems. So he worked for a year and a half on this house, sold it, paid off his house, then he quit the mission board. It's like some missionaries are out there for gifts. They're just looking for money, and we have to be careful as a church. That's one reason why we need to check out our missionaries. We need to be involved in their lives to know that they're doing. Another missionary going to Africa said, we need a 4x4 to go to remote villages. And, okay, that sounds like a real need. Well, they showed up after they raised the money for the 4x4. They showed up at the church with it. They were going to ship it back. It was this really fancy black leather 4x4 that was just like, well, that's not an off-road vehicle that you're going out to remote villages with. And it's like, no, I'm not. It's like they were desirous of gifts. Paul was not after gifts. He did not desire the churches to give him things or money. His motives were purer than that. After a while, you can pattern missionaries who are continually asking for gifts that don't fit the purpose on the field. There's nothing wrong with saying, we have this project and we need to go forward with that. But there's certain mission boards that don't restrain their missionaries' requests, and their requests become just asking for gifts. And Paul said, I don't want gifts, but he desired fruit. He says, but I desire fruit. And we have to look at our missionaries' requests and say, what do they want the money for? They want it. These missionaries, you can tell their missionary requests are because we want fruit. We want fruit. And Paul's desire was for fruit. His desire was that the work he was doing would produce more fruit. You plant a garden, what do you want? You invest in a garden, you want fruit. And you want missionaries who have a desire for fruit, not a gift. Notice that it may abound to your account. Paul was out on the front lines of what we call missions. Missions, in its truest form, is evangelizing the lost, discipling them to maturity, and establishing local churches with indigenous leadership. From what I've heard, that's what the Peacocks have been involved in, establishing churches, leading them to the discipling to the point where they have indigenous leadership, and that's what his desires to move forward with. That's the kind of missionaries we want to partner with. Notice that it abounds to your account. Paul was out on the front lines. That's what he'd been doing until he was imprisoned. And when the Philippians gave financially to aid Paul in carrying out, we call that the Great Commission, God added to the Philippians' account. Notice, even in prison, Paul is reaching out. Verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. I believe those came about because Paul was in prison, and he was reaching out and ministering to those in Caesar's household while he was in prison. I believe he was still doing the work of evangelism even in prison. You know, there's a future reward for those who actively support missions. God is keeping an account. God is up there writing it all in a book. Well, he doesn't need a book because he can remember everything. But each person, each church that supports missions, God is keeping an account of that. You know, most of us think it's a good thing to invest for a future retirement. There are IRAs, mutual funds, stock portfolios, real estate that people invest in for their future. Those accounts will help us temporarily. But will not do anything for the lost or eternity. I mean, the Bible says it's good to leave some for your kids. But you know what? What the best to leave for your kids is a godly heritage. That's the best thing to leave for your kids, to show them that I have been concerned about reaching the lost and give that same desire to them. That's the best thing to leave for them. Let me ask you, do you see the importance of investing money for eternity? That's what Paul is talking about here. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you see the importance of investing money for eternity? I'm sure if Christians understood and had God's heart for the lost, missions, Christians would invest more in missions today. Christians would invest more in missions today because there is an account in heaven. Let me ask, what if more Christians invested in missions like they invested for their retirement? What would happen if more Christians invested in missions like they invest for their retirement? Let me ask again, do you think God would be pleased if we invested more in missions? Do you think that would please God? Do you think it would please God if we invested more? You know what? Paul says, what the church does now for missions, it's a good thing. Not trying to scold at all. Like Paul said, you have well done. You have well done that you've continued to give to missions. That's a good thing. We are on the right track. We are heading in the same direction as those we support. We are on the right track. But can we do more? Can we do more to help missionaries? Do you think we could do more for missions? I know personally, I would give more if we had a more direct way of supporting more missionaries because I gave more to the church. I know, personally, my missions giving would go up if we had a direct way where I give this money and I know it goes directly to missions. We have well done in our supporting missionaries, but I think we could do more. Just think how rewarding it would be if we took on more missionaries and we knew it's because I was able to give more and I see that directly, my giving directly related to us sending more missionaries to the field. And pleasing God through doing that. Paul says that's a pleasing sacrifice, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He had come to the point where he was abounding. He didn't need it. He was telling them right now, I don't need another gift. I don't know if all missionaries would tell you that they were abounding. You know, but he says at this point, I don't need another gift. I have all I need at this point. But then he tells them what their gift was like. What does God think of giving to missions? Well, in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that were commanded by God, and then there were sacrifices that people just gave of their own free will, a free will type of offering. And the sweet smell sacrifices were those that were given freely. In other words, this isn't a tithe. This isn't something that I've commanded to do. This is an offering that I just decide I want to give more to God. They were given by a person whose desire was to please and honor God with what they had, what God had given them. Because they recognized it's all from God, and I just want to please God in what He's given me. These sacrifices were given by people who wanted to give God more than He asked. These sweet smell sacrifices, the odor of a sweet smell, were sacrifices where God, I know you ask this, but I want to give more. I want to give more to you. I personally believe that we're to give a tithe to the Lord. I believe that that is minimum giving. Our tithe is what we owe. I believe that. If we only give to missions out of our tithe, I don't believe it's a sweet smell sacrifice. It's giving just what we owe. There's a hymn that I'm familiar with, it's not in our hymn book, which is called, I'll Wish I Had Given Him More. Anybody ever heard that hymn, I Wish I Had Given Him More? I'm not going to sing it for you. I don't do well in solos, especially not without an instrument. But the first verse goes like this. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. How about you today? What type of sacrifices are you giving to Jesus Christ? Would you consider your giving to be an odor of a sweet smell? Is it more than God requires? Is it an acceptable sacrifice? I believe the tithe isn't a sacrifice. I believe the tithe is just what we owe. It's not a sacrifice. It's giving back to God what we deserve. And the New Testament talks about giving abundantly and above, you know, and I don't think that's a sacrifice. I think when we give more to God, we are doing what, as the verse goes on to say, well-pleasing unto God. That should be our real motivation, folks. Our real motivation is that our giving would be well-pleasing unto God. That's the motivation in our giving. It is well-pleasing to God. If it's well-pleasing to God, we know that it'll bring Him glory. Philippians 4:20, Paul emphasizes the reason behind our giving and all that we do, and the purpose is to bring glory to Him. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The purpose in our giving is to bring God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God. Let me ask you something. Have you ever done anything just to please your earthly father? You know, something that you knew your father, you wanted to do something, and you know, this would just please him. I'm not doing it for any benefit of myself. In fact, I may have to sacrifice to do it, but I want to do it just to please my earthly father. A couple of weeks ago was my father's 87th birthday, and I know I've told you I've gone there. I went there. My mother had a surprise birthday party for him at 5:30 on Saturday night, 2.5 hours away. My first thought was, I can't go down there. I mean, Saturday night, that's when I'm just finishing up details for Sunday, and I got to be ready for Sunday morning, and that's just so inconvenient. I'm not driving 2.5 hours to go for that. I'll just see him another time. It's not the best time for me. But then I started thinking about it. What would please my father? What would bring honor to my father? You know, I decided I'd rather please my father. I'd rather honor him. I'd rather drive the 2.5 hours. And I'd rather go spend time with him. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm going to go spend time with my father and please him. You know, my father and my mother have done so much for me that I could never repay their love. I could never repay their kindness. I could never repay their forgiveness. I went to that party to please and honor my father. And we should want to give to missions for the same reason. Our God has done so much for us in our salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Doing what pleases God and brings Him glory should be our motivation behind giving even more to missions. Let me ask you, do you want to be well-pleasing to God? Do you want to further what would please Him? And I can't think of anything that would please Him more than to be more involved with more missionaries, seeing their work go forward. I think to do that, we have to give more than what's expected of us. And again, I'm not saying that God is not pleased that we're giving to missions. I'm saying our motivation should be that we want to please Him even more. There's no way we can ever repay the debt we owe. I can't repay the debt I owe to my parents, my earthly parents, and I cannot repay the debt I owe to my Heavenly Father. But I can do things that are well-pleasing and give a sweet-smelling sacrifice to my God. You know what? Some of you might be saying, how can I give more? How can I meet my financial obligations if I give more? Verse 19. And this is directly related to their giving to Him through missions. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. That's the very meaning of Philippians 4:19, is that when we give to God over and above in missions and help promote the gospel, then God will supply our every need. How can I make ends meet? Because we are giving, and God says that Paul says that He will give according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And He will supply all our needs. Not wants. You know, there are a lot of people who want to take this and say, you know, you give and God's going to give you more and more and more. Well, the Bible does say that God will give back, but it's not always financially. that God gives back. Maybe it's the blessing that you have been such a giving person and your kids pick that up and your kids say, I want to be like mom and dad. And then they give. And then they want to take care of you when you're older as well. They want to honor you and you get given back so much more because of the life that you've invested in others. In the context, the Philippians had continually, intentionally made it a priority to give to missions. They had been continual, intentional, and made it a priority. And even when they couldn't give, they kept working at it until they figured out a way to give. When you make it a plan and make giving a priority and intentionally give toward missions, God will supply your needs. When you make that a priority. Luke 6:38 says, give and it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. You know, if you're just giving what you owe, you know, that's all you're going to get back. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. You notice, this is a heart issue. So let him give, not grudgingly. If you're going to give grudgingly, don't do it at all. Or of necessity, for God loveth what? Cheerful giver. Cheerful. That's how we need to give. It comes out of that motivation that we want to please God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God says he'll supply your needs. It doesn't mean he'll make you rich. There's lots of rich people out there in the world. Think of one that was in the news just recently because he's running for president, Bloomberg. He's rich. Doesn't mean he's blessed by God. Rains on the good and the bad. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're being blessed by God. But God will take care of your needs. I'm sure the peacocks could go over and over again in their mind how God is taking care of their needs. He talked about it last night, how God, he had to have faith, and God took care of his needs. Let me just say that for some of you young people out there, it might not just be about giving money. It may be about giving your lives. Maybe about giving your lives. It came a time in my life where I was working at a factory and God called me to do something different. I didn't realize he was going to call me to be a missionary and a preacher. I didn't realize that. But I just said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And some of you young people, maybe God is starting to work in your heart today. Maybe you can feel, you understand that call of God and you think, God wants me to do more. And maybe that's just more involved in the church. But maybe that's to go into the ministry. There's fewer and fewer young people going into the ministry today. Missionaries are retiring, and young people aren't taking their place. You know, one way that we can give as a church is by giving our youth to the ministry. May God be calling you to the ministry today. May God be calling you to give your life for missions. It's a great need. No matter if you're called to give or if you're called to go, the verse will apply, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, help us today. We have a great task in supporting missions. And Lord, I thank you for the church's desire in the past to support missionaries. And for the missionaries we support, we thank you for the Peacocks and their ministry and their desire to spread the gospel and to be partners together with us. Thank you for the desire for the Peter Project and the desire to help more churches become solid and established across Africa. I thank you, Lord, that they're not content with what has been done in the past, but are willing to press forward. And Lord, help us to be the same. Help us not to be content with what we've done in the past, but have a desire to even do more for your sake, for your ministry's sake. Help us to be like Paul, wanting to reach missions, and help us like to be like the Philippians, to see the great need of supporting missionaries. Lord, we trust you that you'll supply all our needs through this. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.